Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association.
Dr. Yasmin Davids is the founder and CEO of the Latina Leadership Academy, Latina Global Executive Leadership Program at USC, and Latina Entrepreneur Path. As an organizational psychologist, Dr. Davids has helped develop over 2,000 corporate leaders in over 200 blue-chip companies throughout 22 countries. She has written several international best-selling books focusing on the empowerment of Latinas, and is the author of a great new book, Your Own Terms, which is published by AMACOM, a division of the American Management Association. Yasmin, welcome to AMA Edgewise.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
I'm just going to jump in here. Why has the topic of women and negotiation become so important?
Throughout the last several years, as women join the workforce even more and they move up in leadership levels, it has been shown by research that women that are on boards and those companies that have more women on boards actually are more profitable, and that the gender intelligence aspect of leveraging women and men's strengths together in higher leadership levels also brings companies to be more profitable on a regular basis. So, you know, when you're talking about profit in organizations, now they want to develop more women to move up the leadership ranks, and negotiation skills are key to moving up, as you need to negotiate your path in any leadership position.
It's also interesting just to be aware of this stuff, just the awareness, you know, kind of turning up the radar on it. I see pictures of corporate boards. More so now than ever before, I'm stunned at boards that have, you know, one, maybe two, and in some cases, none of the members of the board are women. You know, that just,
yeah.
I'm dumbfounded.
It's incredible to see, and it's interesting because you would think that as companies become more profitable when there's women on boards, more boards would be recruiting women, but sometimes it's very difficult to change the whole dynamics of power and the comfort level that sometimes men feel in having their own there. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different unconscious biases that go on.
So I'm given to understand that you have a different approach when it comes to teaching negotiation. How is your approach different?
Yes, I do. I have a very different approach from traditional negotiation because I've taught traditional negotiation for many years and it just wasn't working for many women. So I teach what is called gender-based negotiation strategies, which are specific to women and would probably not be so effective as men use because it leverages the femininity of a woman, her feminine strengths of collaboration and graciousness to work in her favor instead of working against her.
What are the big differences then? I mean, obviously you brought up this issue of femininity, but how different are the way that men and women negotiate?
Well, the difference is that there's a lot of backlash when women use the traditional negotiation tactics of assertiveness and just asking for things without being gracious. And just, for example, if a woman asks for a salary raise and just asks for herself, she's deemed to be selfish or difficult to work with because we're used to the gender stereotypes of femininity and the family and caring. So a woman needs to ask in a certain way. She needs to frame her ask as we. You know, it's a we. We need it for the team. We need it for the company. And find a way to align it with organization benefits of it. We need to be able to frame it differently. And the tone that us women use needs to be assertively gracious. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think there's difficulty because there's not too many examples. We don't see it on television, but it's being able to be assertive, but gracious at the same time, because if it's too assertive, almost aggressive, then we will have backlash as women are not supposed to be that assertive, and people don't like women who are that assertive.
You know, I'm not altogether certain that, you know, Hollywood has done us any great service either. I'm speaking from the male side of it. When we have role models like, you know, Michael Douglas in Wall Street, you know, a la Gordon Gekko, you know, swearing and, you know, making all kinds of ultimatums and stuff like that, if that was a service to us at all in any way, shape, or form. I'm interested here. So how can a woman leverage what you call her femininity in negotiating?
Well, a lot of traditional negotiation, even literature, will tell women to just ask. And the reality is women can't just ask unless they have reached a level of power where they are at the C level, where they've already proven themselves and they're already playing what we call with the big boys. Then traditional trait negotiation styles and traits may work for them. But all the other women that are moving up, they have to be able to state their point, but do it in a way where, for example, use a little bit of humor sometimes. In a way, I mean gracious. Instead of saying something like, oh, I would like A, B, and C, it's saying something like giving an explanation, a situational explanation of why they need A, B, and C. And the A, B, and C is not only going to assist them, it's going to help the team overall. It's kind of like we don't want to be deemed selfish, because it seems if we ask for something selfish. So leveraging the feminine trait of collaboration, naturally for women we want to collaborate, we can bring that into our negotiation and show how by us getting what we want, we can collaborate with others and how it's going to bring value to the organization. Another aspect of it is that we tend to want to connect with people, so we're a lot more friendlier. And we can actually work that to our advantage as long as it's not deemed as a weakness. So anytime I walk into a room, I control the environment by the dynamics I set out there. I'm friendly to everyone. I smile. I shake hands. And I'm deemed gracious because I'm very kind. So, but yet, I'm not weak. There's a difference between being confidently assertive, where I will state my point with a smile. So it's a skill.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that women sometimes they sabotage their negotiating power? Have you seen that before?
Absolutely. They sabotage it inwardly and outwardly. And inward sabotage is where the self-talk, the negative self-talk, the perfection paralysis, where they don't feel they have the value to ask for a certain amount. They fear they will be rejected, and it becomes personal rejection for women. And for men, it's different. It's this kind of, oh, they said no today. Tomorrow they might change their mind. For women, it's like they said no to my identity, to who I am. So they really sabotage themselves before they even get to the table. And then outwardly, how they sabotage themselves is by the body language. They don't take up enough space, meaning they really make themselves, they physically condense themselves sometimes where it just looks like they don't own their space. They talk too much. Sometimes they don't interrupt. And at certain times, you have to learn to, if the men are interrupting, then you have to interrupt. It's just to be taken seriously. It's really, and women are very uncomfortable with that. So sometimes I teach women how to interrupt strategically. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they, like I said, they talk too much. They don't get to the point quickly. They explain too much. It's kind of like they're trying to justify what they're asking for, when sometimes you just need to state it, give a specific example of or justification why you need it, and then be done with it.
Now, in an era where a lot of people are preaching the whole sort of go along to get along, life is a compromise, you know, type of thing, you actually teach that the importance of staying true to your personal values is one of the most important things you can do when you're negotiating. What does that mean to you?
Absolutely. I think that, and research shows us too, as women, we are a lot more integrated in everything that we do, everything that we say, and everything that we are as mothers, as career women. We don't compartmentalize very well. We're much more about bringing the same person to work that we have at home. Therefore, our personal values, what we believe in, become our identity, the core of who we are, the foundation of our moral compass of how we make decisions. And if we are asked to continuously make decisions that are not aligning to our personal values, we tend to lose who we are. And then we question ourselves, like, what happened to me? I remember 5 years ago, I used to be this way, and now I feel I don't even know who I am because we're not aligning our decisions with who we are. So I always tell women, look at the organization you work for, and if their values are not aligned with yours, then you need to really consider whether or not you want to stay or look for another organization, because you're compromising your personal values, and that in the long run will impact you, because we're not very good at separating the two, nor should we want to, I think.
Mm-hmm. We've been speaking to Dr. Yasmin Davids. She's author of the book Your Own Terms. Thanks so much for being with us, Dr. Davids.
Thank you for having me.
AMA webcasts bring you 60 minutes of thought-provoking insight, specific answers to your management challenges, and conversations with renowned thought leaders. Best of all, they're all free. For a complete schedule of upcoming webcasts, visit the events calendar at amanet.org/events. Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.